Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday we were talking about lament. I was lamenting the facts of the great and fast change between life for the man and the woman in the Garden in Eden before sin and after sin. Lament is a biblical word, and it means a passionate expression of grief or sorrow, a complaint. We read Psalms of Lament and saw that God himself laments. He feels grief and sorrow over our sin. He issues his complaint against us sinners, and we will see more of that in a minute. Do you lament the way things are? Do you wish your life could be different? Are you praying things will change? Many people lament without even realizing that is what they are doing. Now, men and women love to complain for the sake of complaining. Maybe you know someone like this. There are complaints about the weather and the doctor and the waiter at the restaurant. There are complaints about the pastor and the music and the church. There are complaints about the politicians and the government and the taxes. But when a Christian complains, if we do what the Bible calls us to do, we take that lament up with God in prayer. The biblical expression of lament is prayer. Are you going to the Lord and expressing to him your grief, your sorrow, and your pain? Are you seeking his will for change in your life? Do you pray prayers of lamentation? Or are you just mumbling and grumbling to yourself and in the hearing of family and friends around here? I agree wholeheartedly. There is much going on in this world that gives believers in the Lord Jesus Christ cause to lament. But what we want to be careful to do, and this message is for me as much as for you, what we want to be careful to do is to take it to the Lord in prayer. Seek him as the psalmist did. Tell him about what got you down, discouraged, and dissatisfied. What troubles you? What troubles me? Let us pray about it. Let's hold nothing back from God. He knows it all anyway. Express grief and sorrow to the Lord and see how he responds. Well, when we read in Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19, God's word to Adam, "I lament," and that is especially true when I read this in light of what we have already read and studied in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Again today, let's press this further and enter into a lament for the radical change sin brings. And to do this, I will read our first text. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. "Then to Adam God said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" How sinful is sin, such that Genesis 3 reverses what Genesis 1 and 2 had provided. Sin is very sinful indeed. And last time we contrasted Genesis 1:31 and Genesis 2:4-6 with Genesis 3:17-19. And we found all that God made was very good. God sends the mist to rise from the earth and prepare the ground for the man. But in Genesis 3, because of sin, all is not very good. The ground is cursed. The thorns and the thistles will grow. We regret this has taken place. We cannot help but to be grieved at Adam's sin. Today I want to again read in Genesis 2 and contrast this with our reading in Genesis 3. Verse 7 of Genesis 2 interests me immediately. The Bible says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So beautiful. Man is a living being because God himself breathed his own breath into the man's nostrils. Ah, the breath of life. Think of that. There was God, and then through one creative act, there was man. I tell you, if you do not marvel at the Creator, you need more time in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Maybe you remember the joy we had when we studied this verse some time ago. But in Genesis 3, verse 19, we learn that Adam will die a physical death. In fact, that ground from which he was taken will snatch him back, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This grieves us, doesn't it? We go from life to death. We go from God breathing life into the man's lungs to God taking away his breath so that man will not be able to breathe and dies. God gives, and God's desire was to keep on giving, but Adam sinned, and so God then takes away. And to this day, the wages of sin is death, Romans accurately says. All of us will die, and we die as a result of sin. And nothing causes a greater sense of grief than death, death of a loved one, death of a friend, even the death of an enemy can make us pause and think, we had our differences, but I am sorry he or she has died. What profound change between Genesis 2:7 and Genesis 3:19. It's worthy of a lamentation. Then, when we keep reading in Genesis 2, we come to verses 8 and 9, and then I will drop down and read verses 15 and 16 also. Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9, 15 and 16. As I read this, I would like you to pay particular attention to the emphasis on food and eating. Listen to what God did for the man. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now I drop down to verses 15 and 16. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." There is the abundant provision of food for the man. There is a garden with loads of leafy greens. The Lord God caused trees to grow, and these were both pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was there. This was all life-giving. Into this beautiful scene, God puts Adam, and the man is told, "From any tree of the garden, you may eat freely." How awesome is this? There is only one prohibition, and that is in Genesis 2, verse 17. God says, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Let's get this straight. All Adam had to do to obey the Lord God was not to eat from only one single tree. That was it. But as Genesis 3 opens, we follow this theme of food and eating. The serpent shows up and questions Eve about what they are not to eat. And then in verse 6, we read these words, "We now lament deeply. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. This is sin, and this is going to have to be punished. Hence, we read this in Genesis 3:17, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it.' Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." That is what God said to Adam. The punishment is commensurate with the crime. All Adam had to do was avoid eating the fruit of that one tree. He did not resist, and now the consequence of sin is realized. How incredibly sad. This makes me want to ask, why, Adam? Why? If we had the time, we could explore further contrasts between Genesis 1 and 2, before sin, and Genesis 3, after sin. But this will have to suffice because I'm eager to drop down into the details of these verses now before us. We will do that beginning tomorrow. But as we bring this to a close for another day, I hope that you will join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you and we say to you that we lament the evil and the sin that entered this perfect garden in Eden. When we read Genesis 1 and 2, we're filled with such awe. That was paradise. But when we read in Genesis 3, we are filled with such grief and sorrow. We know that the sin we now experience, it did not have to be this way. We confess we are also sinners. We have learned too well from Adam and Eve, and we say to you, genuinely now from our hearts, we are sorry for our sin. Please forgive us. All of our laments find their source in this one, a lamentation over sin. So we cry out to you. We make our lament. We give you our complaint, and we say, help us, God. Teach us to grieve over our sin and the sins of our nation, our family, our church, and our world. We pray that you will save us and save as many as you will from sin. Revive us, O Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the penalty is paid on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin and the satisfaction of your wrath. I pray for everyone who has a specific lament. I pray they will share their grief, sorrow, and complaint with you, and you will hear them and answer them. Amen. Join us tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.